Father. Hallelujah. But I think it's about a week ago now. I was driving home in the evening. I was just thinking about some people's situations and where some folks are at and what's affecting them and what's in their lives right now. And a real cry came out of my spirit to the Lord that I just said, Lord, your people need miracles. I'm not talking about people needing to see a miracle to try and help them along a little bit. I'm talking about people need to experience. There's some people who need to experience a miracle in their personal lives. That's what I'm talking about. Miracles of healing. There's some people who need a miracle of healing. I'm talking about people I know, people in this church need a miracle of healing. Some who need a miracle of deliverance, a miracle of financial provision, of financial breakthrough. There's people who need miracles for others in their family. There's unsaved loved ones that they need a miracle of salvation. We need a miracle of a building. Buildings. See, miracles are the fruit of somebody's personal faith. Or they are the fruit of faith that's exercised by someone on someone else's behalf. Miracles are not arbitrary things. I said miracles are the fruit of someone's personal faith. That's why I asked you to focus more on what was being said rather than what you were going to see. Because what you see will always be determined by what is said. Miracles don't happen for unbelievers unless they are the result of someone else's faith. Maybe talk about that a little bit more later. But miracles do not happen for unbelievers unless they are the result of someone else's faith. Faith is the positive response to the Word of God that causes someone to believe that the impossible is possible. Faith is the positive response from someone's spirit to the Word of God that causes that person to believe that the impossible is possible. Now, something in regard to faith that I realized the other day that has been a major cause, I believe, of limiting many of God's people from receiving everything that's been provided for them. And I'm not going to speak about that this morning. I'm going to speak about it possibly next time we're together. But there was something that there's a particular verse that I've always read it and understood it in a particular way, and then I realized very recently that not everybody has understood it the same way. and I believe because of that, it's really limited people's faith and their ability to receive and to access everything that's been freely made available to them by God's grace, which is His supernatural provision, which is His the expression of His unconditional love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, I think we spoke about this a little bit last time, but Jesus said in His account of the rich man and Lazarus that if people couldn't hear what Moses and the prophets said, in other words, if they couldn't hear what the Word of God, the recorded Word of God, but, you know, Jesus always spoke from the Old Testament Scriptures. When Paul spoke, he referred back to the Old Testament Scriptures. That was the only Scriptures they had at that time. The New Testament hadn't been written at that time. And so Jesus said in His account of that story of the rich man and Lazarus that if people couldn't hear what Moses and the prophets said, then even if they witnessed the greatest miracle of all, someone rising from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. And He proved that when He rose from the dead and they still didn't believe. Because it's not what you see that determines what you believe, but what you hear and what you say in response to what you hear. Did you hear what I said? It's not what you see that determines what you believe, but what you hear and what you say in response to what you hear. And Paul said it this way. He said, faith speaks. And faith speaks what it hears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then faith speaks what it has heard. If you want to go to Mark chapter 9 this morning, Mark chapter 9, and we'll just begin at verse 14. It says, when Jesus came to the disciples, He'd just come, remember, from what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, where He had gone up into the mountain. He'd taken Peter, James, and John with Him. They had seen Jesus transfigured before them. They'd seen Him speaking with Moses and Elijah. It kind of blew them away, like it would probably have blown us away. Peter, good old Peter, tries to, you know, comment on it, and he doesn't really know what he's talking about, because he can't figure it out. Because, you see, faith doesn't come by what you see. comes from what you hear. That's why there was a voice from heaven. This is coming fresh, hallelujah. There was a voice from heaven at that point when they were in that place of, what's this all about? And this voice said, this is my beloved son, hear him. It didn't say, this is my beloved son. Has this not shocked you and blown you away? Do you not think that was pretty neat what you just saw? That's not what he said. That's not what the voice from heaven said. The voice from heaven didn't say, what you've just seen will change your lives. It didn't say that. It said, this is my beloved son, hear him. So here he comes back from this trip up the mountain. And it says in verse 14, when he came to the rest of the disciples, Jesus saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with him? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, a dumb spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, and they could not. Jesus answered and said, O faithless or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear or put up with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. Scary stuff. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, how could we not cast it out? And so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. So I was going to focus for a moment on verses 23 and 24. Jesus said to this father, if you can believe, all things, say all things. All things are possible. Say possible. All things are possible. Not say it. All things are possible for who? To him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What would help this father's unbelief? I believe only one thing would help this father's unbelief, and that's his son being set free. Come on. His father says, I believe. Come on, I believe. In this room, there's believers today. As I said, there's people who need miracles. If you'll just do what this father said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, you'll get your miracle. Jesus said on more than one occasion that it's an evil and wicked and adulterous generation who seek after a sign. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 12 a minute, let's just read one incident of this. There's something here I just picked up on last night as I was just going through this again. Just preparing this message, just meditating upon it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Verse 36. I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, declared righteous, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want a sign, to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching. They repented at what? They repented at the preaching of Jonah. They didn't repent when this guy walked into town who'd just been spat up by a big fish He must have looked, and he was probably bits of seaweed hanging off him and all kinds of stuff. He probably looked, you know, when you put your finger in water for too long and it becomes all kind of, you know what I'm talking about, all dried up and all crinkled and wrinkled. Was that just thing what this guy looked like when he walked out of town? They didn't repent at the sight of Jonah. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. They repented in response to what they heard. And it says, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom, not to see everything that Solomon had accumulated. She came to hear, he says, the wisdom of Solomon. She recognized she needed to hear what Solomon had to say if she was going to have what she saw that Solomon had. We're catching anything this morning. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon. And so you'll always get crowds flocking to see. But not everybody who comes to see is there to hear. And so those who just come to see and not to hear will never see. Will never truly see or truly experience in their own lives what they've just seen. Only those who hear. And then begin to say, according to what they've heard, they will see. The church is full of sightseers, spectators. Hundreds of thousands of people will flock all over the world. The only very often, well, this is not entirely true, but very often the only people that benefit are hotels and airlines. Their profits get boosted. The local economy gets a re-injection. But apart from that, not a lot changes in that place. Revival tourists, I call them. Come to see. But you sit them down and you try and tell them some things they don't want to hear. Hello? Well, maybe you haven't experienced that. I've experienced a lot. What would help this father's unbelief? Only one thing, and that was his son being set free. Because Jesus said there's an evil and wicked adulterous generation who seek after a sign, who want a sign to precede belief. But Mark 16, verse 17 says that these signs follow those who believe, or it could be translated, those who have believed. A wicked, adulterous, perverted generation seek after a sign. They want a sign to precede belief. But Jesus said, no, these signs shall follow those who have believed. See, too often we've thought that miracles would make believers out of unbelievers. But we need to understand that miracles are not for unbelievers, but they're part of the inheritance of believers. They're part of their inheritance. As Ali said earlier on, I thought, praise God, hallelujah, something the Holy Spirit's here this morning, he's speaking to the church. And I said this many times myself, but miracles are not the standard daily fare of the believer. But they are available in times of crisis, in times where we need help for our unbelief. Amen? And that's what I'm like, we'll just look at this a little bit more as we go on. Do you need a miracle this morning? Don't be ashamed to say, yeah, I need a miracle. Maybe you know someone else, a loved one, a family member, another believer who needs a miracle. Well, Jesus is saying to us today, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I watched that video of that man and what happened there in Engedi last year and the wind blowing through. I thought, well, that's cool. But I didn't think it was so cool that the wind blew through necessarily just about that. It was cool that what the guy asked for, he got. That's what I thought was cool. Amen. I might not have asked for that. And maybe I wouldn't have got such publicity about the meeting. Oh, somebody look at me as if you really know what's going on. Might not have made it onto YouTube. Might not have gone viral on YouTube. But what really I thought was cool, I wouldn't have asked for that, but he prayed for that. He asked for that. He was believing for that, and he got it. I'll guarantee you that half the people that experienced it didn't change their life one bit. But maybe mess with their hairdo. Maybe lost a few pages out of their Bible, gone with the wind. Come on. Hallelujah. I love watching stuff. I think that's cool. I thought he asked for it, and he got it. Just said whatever he asked for. Just believe it's possible, you'll get it. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying to us today, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Come on, let's say this morning. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come on. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What are we saying when we say that? We're saying this. Lord, I believe. You do it. All right? And he says, like he did here that day with this man and his son and all of the people who were there, his disciples who were there who needed this lesson, he was saying, okay, I'll show you how it's done. I'll show you what is possible so that you can do it next time. Because that's always his desire, to move his people forward into that place of responsibility where the authority they've been given actually begins to work. Moving his people from the milk of revival to the meat of responsibility. He says, okay, I'll show you how it's done. I'll show you what is possible so that you can do it next time. This will be for you a demonstration to help your unbelief. And somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. So you should. Because it means, let it be, Lord, according to your word. Let it happen. So there's a very interesting question. It's a big debate out there in many sections of the church. But did Jesus do the things he did as God or as a man? Did he do the things he did as God the Son or as the Son of God? Or as he referred to himself most often, as the Son of Man? Because your answer to that question could help determine what you can or cannot do. Because if he did it as God, then there's not much chance of you doing it, or me. But if he did it as the Son of Man, if he did it as the Son of Man who'd stripped himself of all of his divinity in the sense of his capability and ability, and made himself totally dependent upon the power of his heavenly Father flowing to him and through him, then you and I can do exactly the same. And he didn't. Isn't that what he said we would do? He said, greater works than these you shall do. The same works I've done you will do, and greater works than these shall you do. Because I'm going back to the Father, and now you're going to be in that same place of relationship with the Father that you saw me walk in. Come on. We have been given authority. We've been given the power that confirms that authority. And that's why we must, as somebody's already said this morning, as Rachel said this morning, we must be in alignment with his word. Hallelujah. Because when we speak, the power of God is released to us and through us. When we speak, when we say what we've heard, then we will see what was promised in what we heard. Because when we speak, the power of God is released to us and through us. Jesus didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, go and preach the kingdom and then heal the sick. Come on, Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. He said, you go preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. As people respond to what they've heard, the message of the kingdom, as I said it over and over and over again, I think I repeated it again last week, if you can't hear the message of the kingdom, you'll never truly see. You might witness it, you might observe the miracles of the kingdom, but you'll never experience them in your life or through your faith in the life of somebody else. It's good news, honestly. It's the good news. You want to go to Luke chapter 9 a moment. Hey folks, it's 2013, the year of superabundant grace. Amen. Chakabundo. Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. You blessed this one. Were you glad this morning when you woke up and it's time to go to the house of God? Yep. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it might be given to you. ask and we'll have a committee meeting to decide whether you're worthy or not. No, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Hallelujah. There's no means tested in heaven. Come on. That's why it says, don't forget his benefits. His benefit system's not in trouble. They're talking now about the changes in the benefit system, and the social security system of the United Kingdom is going to lead to incredible hardship in the lives of many people. That's why they need to know. That's why they need to hear that there's benefits in the kingdom. Hallelujah. That won't leave anybody in trouble. That will deliver everybody out of trouble. If they'll simply hear and believe and begin to say what he says. Glory to God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone who asks, receives. It's just on your asking. It's just based on your asking. What are you asking for? He said, all things are possible to those who believe. Just ask what you're going to ask. Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, well, not if he wasn't with any teeth left at the end of it. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and he's just talking comparatively, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Another gospel says good things. Who knows, the Holy Spirit always has good things to those who ask him. It's all predicated on your asking. Hallelujah. It's all determined by the level of your asking. Our Heavenly Father wants to help our unbelief by giving us what we have the audacity to ask for. What we have the audacity to seek and to go after him for. What we have the audacity to knock for. To help those who refuse to accept what appears to be closed to them. They refuse to accept that what is closed cannot be opened. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's say it. Come on. Lord, I believe. Let's say it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17. Jesus answered and said, O faithless or unbelieving and perverse generation. How long? You know what being perverse can mean? It can mean doing the right thing the wrong way in the wrong place with the wrong people. That's what religion is. Religion's a perversion of the relationship that God desires to have with us. So sometimes religion does. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Come on, when they're just bringing the Word of God, and you can hear the Word of God, it doesn't matter where you hear it. You can go to a church where the preacher doesn't even believe what he's saying, and you can take the Word of God that he speaks. I've been to churches sometimes, like, what in the world am I doing here? But if the man just reads from the Scripture, I can get something from that. Hallelujah. Amen. If everything else is off the wall, totally skew with, man, and not, you can preach, even if he reads the Scripture and talks about flower arranging, I can get something from the Scripture there. I knew one evangelist. He was wild, man. He was from the East Coast, lived up in the north of Scotland, but he did a lot of evangelism around Ireland for a long, long time with a tent. And one time he was in one of these churches. He was on the road, and it was church time, so he stopped and just went into any church he fed, and the minister got up there and started preaching about flower arranging, and he stood up and he said, "Tell them about the blood." he was a bit more boldness than me, anyway. About the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. He was in a restaurant another time, glory to God, and there was a whole racket going on, and he stood up, well, y'all be quiet till I see my grace. Hallelujah. Amen. He's away with the, he's in the glory now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you or put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. This is another account of the same, another gospel account of the same incident. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said, and this is what Matthew remembers of this incident. Alright, what the Holy Spirit brought through Matthew in regards to this incident. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, or that could be translated, because of your little faith. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, go to Matthew 13 a minute. For he likens the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest and its branches. Jesus is saying, I want you to recognize the capability of the mustard seed. It's nothing to do with its size. It's regardless of its size, what the mustard seed is capable of. Because he's trying to get through to them that you can speak to the mountains and the mountains have to move. That little grain of mustard, that little tiny little mustard seed can become a great tree that the birds come and nest in its branches. And what you think, it doesn't matter how little you think your faith is. It can move mountains. The capability of that faith, regardless of how small you think it is capable of moving mountains. You can speak to the mountains and the mountains have to move. Now, if faith can move a physical mountain, it can move a cancer. It can move a heart condition. It can move heart disease, it can move diabetes, it can move oppression and depression, it can move mental illness, it can move a pile of debt, it can move a mountain of debt. Paul said that's the word of faith that we preach. The answer is in your mouth. What are you going to do? In Zechariah 4:7 it says, shout grace. This is 2013, folks. It's the year of superabundant grace. Zechariah says, shout grace. Somebody shout, come on, grace! Grace! Start shouting grace to the mountains! Come on, what's your mountain? Shout grace to that mountain. Shout healing to your sickness. Come on. Every time the symptoms show up, shout healing! Shout freedom to your oppression. Every time that dark cloud tries to descend upon you, shout freedom! Louder than Braveheart or anybody else, bless God. Split some of that William Wallace anointing, get on you. Hallelujah. Now the Jesus anointing, come on you. It's for freedom that Christ has set. Not he will, he hopes to maybe one day. No, he has set you free. Now start trying. Freedom! Shout grace. He made freedom freely available to you through his grace. Hallelujah. His unconditional love, the expression of his unconditional love, seeing you where your point of need is and meeting you at the point of that need and bringing help to you and supernatural deliverance to you. Freedom. And you shout prosperity to your dead. Come on. Every time you look at DR, shout prosperity at him. Hallelujah. Every time you see all that horrible letters coming through your door, shout prosperity at them. See that wee pile for them under your letterbox? Shout prosperity. You're on the table and you're looking at it. You don't want to look at it. You want to try and ignore it, but you know you're not supposed to ignore it. You're supposed to shout prosperity at it. You're supposed to shout grace at it. Hallelujah. Try not to upset the neighbours too much. Let's go there. Zechariah, everyone. Zechariah chapter 4. Hallelujah. I want to just talk about your problems. I want to bring you solutions for your problems. Amen. I'm not here just to sympathize with your problem. I'm here to bring you a solution for your problem. That's what compassion does. It sees the problem and moves it. Jesus was moved with compassion and then he moved the problem. Come on. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth this capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." Do you know what the foundation of this church is? You got it yet? Who remembers the Immutables? This is the foundation of this church that God built, that God founded this church upon the Immutables. What are the Immutables? Well, you don't discuss them, you don't argue with them, you don't fuss about them. They're forever settled in your life. Hallelujah. That Jesus provided salvation for everybody, healing for everybody, deliverance for everybody, and prosperity for everybody. I'm not a sinner trying to get righteous. I'm the righteous with power and authority to resist sin in Jesus' name. That's the Immutables that Jesus, that the Lord founded this church on. He instructed us to found this church upon. That I'm not the sick trying to get healed. That I'm the healed resisting sickness with the power and authority that I have in the name of Jesus to do so. I'm not the oppressed trying to get delivered. I'm the delivered resisting every manifestation of oppression and depression and suppression and repression and demonic impression and every kind of pressure and session, including the Kirk session that comes against me. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's an Immutable. In my life, isn't it immutable in yours? It must be. Glory to God. I'm not the poor trying to prosper. I'm the prosperous resisting poverty. Every time it tries to attack my life, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Because I have power and authority to do that. And I'm taking responsibility to exercise that power, to exercise that authority. I don't need many miracles. Because that's established in my heart and in my life. I don't need to see much with my physical eye. Because I've heard something with the ear of my spirit. And I put words in my mouth that match what I've heard. And I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you it works. And 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 it will keep on working. And more of His grace gets released. And more of His power. And come on! Hallelujah. Somebody shout. Come on. Time to shout salvation to your lost loved ones. Come on. Every time you think about them, shout salvation. Your children that are still out there wandering a bit. My children are blessed of the Lord. They're taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Call forth a harvest on every seed that's been sown into their lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's harvest time. Shout grace. It's harvest time. One sows, another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. It's increase time. He said it's a year of superabundant grace. Hallelujah. But somebody's got to care for that seed. Somebody's got to believe that that seed has the power and the authority to bring forth everything, that it's charged with the DNA of God, with the purpose of God, with the destiny, the divine destiny that God has planned and purposed, that's always for good, never for evil. Whenever you see the manifestation of evil, shout grace to it. Where sin abounds, grace shall much more abound. It's the year of superabundant grace. Not that every year hasn't been, but this year we're going to see more of it. Hallelujah. And we're going to experience more of it. Hallelujah. We're going to see the fruit of more of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the year to get your miracle. It's 2013. It's the year to get your miracle. It might be unlucky for some, but it won't be for you. Because you're not dependent upon luck. You're dependent on favor. Supernatural, superabundant favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, "And God, who is able to make all grace abound." In fact, I didn't finish Zechariah chapter 4, did I? "For he who has despised the day of small things." Oh, well, I wish I had faith like that. Everybody's got the same faith. God didn't give one kind of faith to you and another kind of faith to me. He gave us all the same faith. Hallelujah. He designed us all as faith people. He designed us all to live by faith. Hallelujah. So we've all got the same faith. Don't despise the smallness of your faith, what you consider to be the smallness of your faith, because it doesn't matter how small you think your faith is. Jesus says it can move that mountain. Hallelujah. People say to me, I wish I had your faith. I say, what do you want, my faith? Well, you've got your own. You shall not covet your neighbor's faith. Come on. God. Oh, no, I'm finished there, right? Who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line. What's the plumb line for? The plumb line keeps you in alignment. Hallelujah. When you're building a wall, the plumb line is what keeps that wall straight in alignment. Come on. The plumb line is in the hand of Zerubbabel. The plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, they are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. What does it tell you in Chronicles? It says that he scans the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. Who have believed in their heart and who confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ as Lord, that he has provided everything that we would ever need in every place, in every circumstance, in every situation. Somebody shout grace, come on. Grace! Hallelujah! And God is able to make all grace abound. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all, God is able, say God is able, the God who is able, it says, to make all grace, say all grace, abound. That word there, perisseo, could be translated to superabound. This is 2013. It's a year of superabundant grace. Hallelujah. He's able to make all grace abound, to superabound. It means to have it in excess. It means greatly surpassing. It means to excel. That make that grace excel toward you. That you always having. Say always having. All sufficiency. Say all sufficiency. In all things. Say in all things. May have an abundance. Oh, hallelujah. What's the abundance? That's the overflow. For every good work, or every excellent work, that can be translated. Oh, hallelujah. That's what he wants us. Now, sometimes to get there, sometimes we need these miracles to help our unbelief. But we don't live in the miracles. We live in the fullness of his provision. And if you need a miracle today, there's no condemnation. There's a miracle here for you today. And there'll be other days when you need that miracle, and you need to understand it's your inheritance to have that miracle. Because regardless of your condition or how you got there or how you ended up there, he still loves you and he still wants to help you. The father didn't say, I don't believe, that's a load of rubbish. That would have cut him off. He said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Come on. And he says, all right, I'll show you what your little faith will do. You'll just apply it. I'm here to help you by showing you a demonstration of what your faith that you still think needs help is capable of doing. I'll demonstrate it for you so you'll do it next time. Hallelujah. All grace. Man, remember that little word, all, that God's been speaking to me for all these years, amen? Everything, when the devil comes in, you say all, remember? Now you can say all grace. You can add grace to that, all grace. Or you can just interchange them and say grace or all, doesn't matter, hallelujah. He knows what you're talking about. Somebody shout, come on, all grace, all grace. All grace. Hallelujah. My spirit cried out and got home the other day. Lord, God, we need miracles. There's people who need miracles. Your people in our church, in our community, there's people who need miracles. We just need to believe that they're possible. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and with great power, say great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Maybe look at this again in more detail later, not today, but great grace was upon them all. See, I want to tell you, great grace is upon you this morning. And that great grace is accessed through great faith. And great faith miracles are the fruit of faith that looks beyond personal needs, because it goes on and says that none of them said they had anything unto themselves, but they had all things in common. I wasn't so locked into my own little world. I wasn't so locked into my own little problems. I wasn't so locked into my own little rinky-dinky stuff that I couldn't see your need. I couldn't recognize your need and exercise great faith, because great faith always looks beyond your own need and exercises faith on behalf of someone else. Great faith miracles are the fruit of faith that looks beyond personal needs and is motivated and moved through compassion by the needs of others. In Matthew 17, Jesus said the disciples had little faith, but he had great faith, and that was motivated by compassion, the need for a miracle. He saw the need for a miracle in this situation. He was moved with compassion. He wasn't about to walk away from that father and his son and say, "Ugh, come back when you get more faith." He saw the need for a miracle. So we know where God wants us to live. We know the place of possession that he wants us to hold to. But he also wants us to recognize that miracles are still available. As one fellow said, you know, people talk about the age of miracles is gone. Well, the God of miracles is still alive. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle, that's a miracle is what you're going to get. Just ask. Just seek. Just knock. Whoever asks, it will be given to him. Whoever seeks will find. Whoever knocks, it will be opened to them. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, release the Holy Spirit's power to bring good things to you? Because he only has good things for you. Why would he send a bad thing to you when he's only got good things for you? And no wonder the church is so confused. People think God sends bad things to them. He's only got good things. If it's not a good thing, it's not the Holy Spirit that brought it. It's an evil spirit that brought it. It's a wicked spirit that brought it. If it's a bad thing, come on. Let's get things clear. Let's get rid of the fog. Let's come out of the density of that fog that's clouded people's minds and held them back and oppressed them for so long. Hallelujah. Superabundant grace. See, miracles, hear this morning. Miracles don't increase our faith. They help our unbelief. I want you to hear the distinction of this morning. I felt the Lord just spoke this to me yesterday. Miracles don't increase our faith. They help our unbelief. And what they do increase, because remember the one time that the disciples came to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith, increase our faith." But he couldn't increase their faith. That was one of these requests that couldn't be answered. What miracles do is they increase our confidence in using our faith. Man, you pray for someone and they get healed and it's like, woo! You're looking for another sick person to pray for. Come on. You pray for someone and then you get saved and you're looking for someone else to pray for, aren't you? Come on, it doesn't increase your faith, it helps your unbelief. It helps your self-doubt. None of us, I don't believe there's anyone here who don't believe God can do it all. What we've struggled with is that we can do anything. Come on. That's why, but when we say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," we're saying, "I believe you do it." He said, "You do it." It increases our confidence in using our faith. It increases our boldness of faith. And it increases our expectancy to see miracles in the lives of others, to step out and to speak and to believe that the things that we speak will happen. Like I said in that video, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Did you get the meaning of that? Did you get what I tried to explain to you through that? Hallelujah. I'm trying to help you. Not hinder you, help you. Bless you. Take you further. Take you forward. Take you upward. Take you to a new place so you actually live at your address. You know, some people have an address they don't live at. Come on. And there's a big pile of stuff there at their wrong address. But if they were living at the right address, they could have dealt with the pile. Jesus took us and sat us down with him in the heavenly places, far above every principality and power, so that every mountain that rises up in front of you, you just speak to it and it disappears. Who knows, when you're in a plane at 40,000 feet, every mountain looks like a pimple. Come on. Even in that wee budgie thing, you fly from Glasgow to Stormy, very often they take that route up over Ben Nevis. They say, and if it's a clear day, and the pilot say, "We're just passing over Ben Nevis," and you look down, you think, Ben Nevis looks about the same altitude as Fort William. The top of the bine and the lock look as if they're at the same place. Come on. And when you know that you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's your position. The problem, folks, is that people's experience doesn't always line up with their position. That's why you need to stay in alignment by speaking the words that God put in your heart and in your mouth. And all of a sudden, the mountain becomes like a, just like the law, just like the field. Come on. Shout grace to the men. Remember, two people came to Jesus and he commended them for having great faith. And the awesome thing is, both of them were Gentiles. And both of them came to him on behalf of somebody else. Remember, the Syrophoenician woman came on behalf of her daughter? Praise your faith. The Roman centurion came on behalf of his servant. He said, I've never seen great faith as great as this in all Israel. Praise your faith. Great faith accesses great grace. God gives miracles to those who respond with faith when they hear about the provision of his grace. We'll look at that maybe a little bit more next time. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I believe. Come on, let's say it together. Lord, I believe. Say, Lord, I believe. I want to ask if you need a miracle, you recognize this morning, yes, I need a miracle, or somebody else needs a miracle. Well, just say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Is that your cry today? What will you ask? Bring this question. What will you ask for today? Believing that nothing is impossible. Do you believe that? Jesus said it. I'm not saying it. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating what he said. I'm just reminding you what he said. He said, all things are possible to those who believe. So what will you ask for today? Because he says, everyone who asks receives. I want to help you to be delivered today from self-doubt that has limited your ability to use the faith that's been given to you. That you've always had to access the grace of God, to access His supernatural provision for your life and for the lives of others. What do you need? Let me ask. God will supply all of our needs, but He won't give you your wants. Yes, He will. He asked a man one day, he says, what do you want me to do for you? He could see what he needed, but he asked him what he wanted. Let's get rid of all that religious claptrap out of our minds, because it's fudge, it's garbage, it's fog, it's mist. It's just, no wonder we've missed and come short of the glory of God. No wonder we've missed the mark. We were stuck in some religious mist. Some fog. Come on, have you heard it? Maybe you've said it. I preached it. Yeah, God will supply all of your needs, but He won't give you what you want. Yes, He will. He said He would. He said, what do you want? I can see what you need, but what do you want? You might not want your need to be met. You might want something else. What do you want? I'm asking this morning, what do you want? What will you ask for today? I mean, Scripture actually says that the children of Israel asked for things and God gave them to them, but it brought leanness to their soul. So He even gave them that which wasn't maybe the best thing for them, but He gave them. When the prodigal son came to his father and asked for his inheritance, his father said, no, you're not getting it, you cheeky little brat. Go back in there and stay in there until you learn out some manners. You ugly little pimple on my backside. Get out of here! Come on! He didn't say that. He said, okay, here you are, boy. It brought leanness to his soul, but he got what he asked. That's why you need to ask. Make sure you get in alignment and ask in accordance with his will. Hallelujah. So what you get is a blessing to you. That's why the Bible says there's good success, because there's bad success. Some people get successful and they leave God and they abandon God and they abandon His plan for their lives and they get all caught up in all kinds of misery. There's bad success and there's good success. There's good success that comes to those who meditate in His Word continually, day and night. He said, then they make their way prosperous and they have good, say good success. What do you need this morning? What do you want? Maybe you want a miracle for somebody else this morning. Well, I'm asking you to shout grace to that mountain. Maybe it's a mountain of sickness. Maybe it's a mountain of depression and oppression. Maybe it's a mountain of financial debt and misery. Maybe it's someone who's not born again and needs to come into a relationship with the Lord and your miracle of salvation. Well, shout grace to that mountain. Maybe you see all the obstacles, all the reasons why they'll never get saved, why they couldn't get saved, why they're so far away from salvation. We'll just shout grace to the mountain. Let's come back up this morning into the place of our authority. into the place of where we truly live, to our real address. Hallelujah. We must begin to exercise that authority we've been given. Glory to God. If you need a miracle, then take your miracle today. If you someone else who you recognize needs a miracle, then let's get that miracle for that person today. Because all things are possible to those who believe. And because they believe, they ask. And everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, they see that which seems to have been closed, opened to them. Because we have a how much more God. We have a how much more Father. Hallelujah. You're ready this morning. Come on, shout grace. Come on, don't miss it out the wall. Shout grace. Come on, get that focus in your life right now. Get in alignment. See what you're speaking to and begin to speak to it. Begin to speak to it. And you will see what you speak come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe that today? Because that's what the Word of God teaches. This is the Word of faith that we preach. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Come on, let's shout grace. Begin to shout grace. Grace, Lord, grace. See your mountain. Bring up that vision of that mountain before you and just begin to shout grace to it. Hallelujah. See yourself above it, not in front of it, but above it. And shout grace to it and it just... That's the problem. We stood in front of the mountains and tried to shout grace at them instead of getting over them and shouting grace to them. Grace took us up above them, over them. Come, we've dealt with this over the last few months. God brought us up over it all. Hallelujah. You over it yet? Get over it. Turn that person and say, get over it. Whatever it is, get over it. Because when you get over it, you'll recognize you have the authority to deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Have I said enough? Glory to God. Are you ready to shout? Come on, let's shout praise to Him. Let's shout praise in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. That His grace has been made available to us as His children, as His beloved children. Whom He loves unconditionally, and so He's given an expression of His love in our lives. It's called grace. Hallelujah. Deals with everything. It's more than enough for everything. It covers everything. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let it become real in our lives. Lord, I pray for those who need miracles today. Lord, that they would access these miracles. I speak miracle power over every person this morning, Lord God. I speak the fulfillment of these miracles in every life in here today, Lord, that needs a healing miracle, a deliverance miracle, Lord, a financial miracle. I speak the fulfillment of these miracles in their lives right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, lift us up above to a place where we begin to speak that miraculous healing, delivering power into the lives of others, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.